speak to you this morning a little bit about prayer. That's a pretty deep subject if you've never looked into it, and I'll just try to touch on a few things this morning. That way you could speak everything about it. I don't think even in 2 hours, you know. What is the definition of prayer? Well, first of all, let me start with the scripture. Probably the shortest scripture I've ever started a message with, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, I'm sure we're all familiar with this. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, I can tell you, everything I'm going to say to you this morning, I'm saying to myself as well. That's how I'm preaching words, speaking words, I can tell you. So, none of us live up to that, I'm sure, in the flesh. None of us do that.
Right.
I know things distract me. Somebody asks me for prayer, and I say, yeah, I'll pray. And then I go off, and later on, I'm like, what was that? You know, to somebody, I forget. I don't write things down or make a mention. If I'm where I can, heard someone say one time, you know, if you're able to, but somebody asks you, go ahead and pray right then. You don't have to worry about forgetting it. Of course, that's not always possible. But I forget to pray for people. I forget to pray over things. And sometimes I don't pray over things like I should. I don't pray as I should. That's for sure. Because we're told here to pray without ceasing. Take everything to the Lord. Prayer is asking. One part of prayer is asking specific things from God. Something I've come to believe as I've gotten more and studied more is I think we should pray in specifics when we're able to. You know, I used to be real general about it, but I think we should be specific in our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
We should name that person's name. We should talk to God about that situation in our life. You know, don't just say, bless me, mine, and ours, and get up and go on. We need to be specific in our prayers to God. Prayer is worship addressed to the Father in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer is having two-way fellowship with God. It's not just talking to God, but with God. There's a difference right there. It's not just talking to God, is talking with God. You know, you can talk to someone without talking with them. But prayer should be talking with God. Prayer, basically, is communion with God. I found this definition. I don't know who wrote it, but I was looking on the internet and I found this definition. I really like it. It says, prayer is communication with God. We do this by praising Him, confessing our sin before Him, thanking Him, and asking Him for our needs and desires. Prayer is communion with our Creator. When we pray, we engage in loving fellowship with the Maker of heaven and earth. I don't know who the author of that was, but I really like that definition there. You know, did a little quick search on my phone in my Bible app there, and the word pray, or variations thereof, praying or prayers, it came up with 165 verses just in the New Testament. I didn't even look in the Old Testament. Just in the New Testament, there were 165 verses relating to prayer. That's a lot, you know. The Bible has a lot to say about prayer, of course. Like I said, I'm just barely skimming the surface this morning. But it's a good subject to study. I think it's a good subject to keep on our hearts and on our minds.
Amen.
In Psalm 102, verse 17, God promises to hear our prayers. He says, He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. He does not despise our prayer. Now, this is very convicting to me. I know what I'm about to say, but what can cause so many Christians to achieve nothing for God, to never see miracles, seem depressed, bored, and get nothing out of their spiritual life? What's the answer to that? Because they rarely pray or read the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, woe is me. I don't do it enough. We need to see the value of daily prayer. We need to be disciplined. We need to discipline ourselves to pray. The Bible says that we're to bring our bodies into subjection. We need to be disciplined about it. I'm not like I should be. I confess that to you right now. I let things distract me. I oversleep a little bit, get up, I'm running around. Oh, I gotta get to work. You know, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. I gotta stop putting gas in the car, I gotta feed the dog. And the world takes over and we forget those things. But we should discipline ourselves to make time to pray.
Yes.
You know, make it a priority. Don't let it be an afterthought. Take time to pray. How does prayer benefit ourselves and others? You know, someone may ask, does daily prayer really achieve anything? Well, yes, it does. God tells us in His Word to do it. God, as I said, He talks a lot about it. God says that it does, and people's experience proves it. I believe if we were really convinced that what we really, if we were really convinced that we really receive whatever we pray for, we would pray more seriously and more often.
Mm-hmm.
If we really believed in the power of prayer like we should, we would be more serious about it, and we would pray more often. You know, the story is told, we all know who Spurgeon is, Charles Spurgeon, you know, had a great ministry. You know, many thousands of people would come to hear him preach. And the story is told that while he was preaching underneath that church, I just call it the basement or whatever, the bottom level, he would have men down there praying through the whole service.
Yeah.
Nothing but praying. They weren't in the service. They were in a separate room underneath the service, praying for him and praying for the service through the whole thing. That's amazing to me. You know, praying that God would bless his preaching, praying that God would bless his word, praying that God would touch the people there. So there is power in prayer. And God greatly used that man, and I think part of it was prayer. Some may say, I think you'll do this as well. You know, well, I had a pretty good day today. Things are okay today. We don't make prayer a priority that day. You know, we have a pretty good day. We kind of forget about it sometimes, don't we? But even if you don't have needs, which I'm sure you do, but even if you don't, what about the needs of others?
Right.
You can always pray for others, always.
Right.
You can attempt, you can bring before the throne of God their petitions. Yeah. We all know people who are sick. We all know people who are lost. We all know people who have problems. You start thinking about those things, sit down and make you a little list. And you might find you got more than what you can pray for. You know? So don't let that distract you. Don't let that discourage you from prayer life.
Right.
You know? It's easy. I know. I know how it is. I live that life. I go to work. I come home. Boy, I'm tired. I ain't feeling good. You know? Let me get something to eat. Let me get on my phone for a few minutes or turn on the TV to, you know, just distract myself. Next thing you know, you go to bed, and oh, guess what? You didn't even pray. You know? So, that's where I said discipline comes into it. We have to discipline ourselves. We have to train ourselves to do it. There are direct benefits to prayer, to praying. The Bible talks about these. In John chapter 16, and verse 24, back up to verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Guess what? You can have fullness of joy through prayer.
Amen.
We don't think about that sometimes, but that's what he said. Prayer fills us with joy. Well, you know, I said it's communion with God. We can get that joy, that true joy, from God in prayer. He tells us that. Jude, verse 20, says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we can build up ourselves and others in prayer. We can build ourselves up. He tells us that. Prayer can bring relief from burdens. Remember I said, you know, we have burdens, our burdens and the burdens of others. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Well, how can you cast your care upon Him? In prayer. Through prayer. Go to the Lord in prayer. There's a song that comes to my mind. Now, I can't think exactly how it goes, but it mentions that, you know, casting your burdens upon Him, for He careth for you. How do we do that? In prayer. Through prayer. Through reading of His Word in prayer. We can get relief from those burdens. You'd be surprised sometimes how much better you'll feel after you pray to the Lord. Prayer helps to develop a humble and right attitude in us. It keeps us from becoming proud.
Yes.
And that same 1 Peter, where we're at, verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. How can you humble yourself? Well, one way you can humble yourself is in prayer. Go to the Lord in prayer. Humble yourself to pray to Him, to realize you're not the center of the universe, that He is, that the world doesn't revolve around you, as our society sadly seems to think nowadays. The world doesn't revolve around you. He is the supreme. He is the ultimate. Humble yourself and go to Him. Take your petitions. Take your burdens to Him. Go to Him. Let Him humble you. And He will exalt you, His exaltation, in due time. Not false man's exaltation, but His exaltation that He gives. Humble yourself. Be humble enough to go to Him in prayer. Be humble enough to realize you do need His help. That you do need Him in your life.
Amen.
Prayer makes us sober and alert to Satan's devices. The same 1 Peter where I'm at, chapter 5, verse 8, says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We have an adversary. Not just ourselves, but we have the devil. You know, we all know the story of Job. Our adversary is the devil. How can we fight against? I can't fight against the devil, but God can. So how do we do that? In prayer. We pray that God will help us to be sober. And when I say sober, I'm not just talking about alcohol. That's not what the Bible is saying. Be sober. Be of a right mind. Be of a right mind. We can help to achieve that through prayer. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't give prayer enough credit for. How it can help us. We think prayer is just, oh Lord, like I said, bless me by an hour and that's it. That's not prayer. That's not biblical prayer. That's not how we should approach prayer. We can get the peace of God through prayer. In Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything. He says, in everything, by how? Prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You want the peace of God that passes all understanding? Pray. Pray. That will give you peace, as I said. He says, be careful for nothing. That word careful means anxious. Are you anxious about something? I get anxious. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We sing that song. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Pray for every need. In everything. He said, in everything. Pray for every need. Thank God for His goodness in your prayer. So there's much to pray about, but prayer changes us. Prayer affects us. Prayer, you know, that's what I'm talking about. What benefits do we get from prayer? We can get peace. We can be at peace. When the world around us is in chaos, we can be at peace. How is that? Through prayer.
Yes.
That prayer gives us peace. Like I said, he says here, be anxious. Well, how do you get over being anxious? Pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray. Take it to the Lord. Cast your burdens upon Him. Give them to Him.
Yes.
Now, I know we're all familiar with this as well. Prayer can heal our land. In 2 Chronicles, I know everyone knows this. We hear it all the time. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Remember I talked about humbleness, humility? Right, there it is again. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Do we not need that in this country, in this day and time? Goodness, yes, we do. We do. We as God's people need to humble ourselves and pray. The Bible talks about praying for those in authority over you. I've mentioned it here before. You don't have to like them, but you should pray for them.
Right.
Because God can affect their heart and mind where we can't. You know, we can argue with them all day long and they still may go off on the same opinion. But God can make changes in them that we can't. God can use wicked rulers. He has in the Bible. We know that. God can use those people for our good. But we have to do what? We have to humble ourselves, he says here. We have to pray. We have to seek God's face. We have to turn from our wicked ways. And if we do those things, then God promises to hear from heaven. He hears our prayers. To forgive our sin and to heal our land. So there's always something to be in prayer about, always. Prayer can summon strong angelic forces to help us. Did you know that? I'll give you an example here in the Word of God. We may not see them. We don't see the spiritual things, the spiritual battles that goes on. That's a good thing, probably scares to death, to be honest with you, many times. But what happened with Daniel? What happened with him? Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. I'm starting in verse 12. Let's read 12 through 14. Then said he, that's the angel came unto Daniel. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou hast set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. God heard him. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So, from the first, when Daniel prayed, God heard him. You know, we read that. God hears our prayers. Now, Daniel didn't get an immediate response, but he kept praying. You know, I've been guilty of that. We prayed about something one time ago, and we said, well, I guess God's not going to answer me. God didn't hear my prayer. You prayed one time about it. Maybe you need to keep praying about it.
Amen.
Just because God doesn't answer immediately doesn't mean He doesn't care. Doesn't mean He doesn't hear you. He told him. He said from the first day, your prayers were heard. This prayer sent help to Daniel. And also through that, notice in that verse 14, he said, I'm going to make you understand what's going to befall those people in the latter days. God answered his prayer, and God gave him a vision for what was going to happen in the future through that prayer. Prayer gives us power in the spiritual angelic realm. I believe that. I'm not saying we command angels or anything like that, but I'm saying God uses angels' charge over us, right? When we pray, God can send those angels on our behalf to do certain things, to work certain things out that we may never understand or even know about this side of heaven. But God does that through our prayers. And like I said, sometimes we have to keep praying. He told him, he said that the prince of the kingdom of Persia was still be 1 in 20 days. 21 days. 21 days. Daniel kept praying. Remember in Luke 18, the parable of the woman and the unjust judge? What happened? Let's read this. I got time. Let's read this. Luke 18, verse 1. This is Jesus, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There again, Jesus is teaching them, keep praying. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. That is, vindicate me of them. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continuing coming she weary me. He didn't fear God or man, but this widow was getting on his nerves.
Mm-hmm.
She kept petitioning him. She would not stop. She was going to make him listen. You know, I want you to listen to me. I want you to do this for me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? See, sometimes, like with Daniel, we don't get an answer immediately. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Why? The time may not be right. God may be working something out. God already knows what you're going to pray about. He may be working something out that you don't even know behind the scenes. And it's not quite the right time for that prayer to be answered. But it's coming. But don't give up, is my point. Don't give up. Daniel prayed 21 days. And right here, our Lord is telling us this unjust judge, through the woman's petition, constant petition, her prayer was answered. The Lord is saying, don't give up. Don't quit praying about it. He says that. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Yes, he will. Cry day and night unto him in your prayers. Pray about it. The answer may not come the way you expect it to. You might not get the answer you want. That happens too. But God hears you. God hears your prayer. We receive what we ask God for as long as we don't ask amiss. In Matthew 21, verse 18, It says, "Now in the morning, as he returned unto the city, he hungered," that is Jesus. "And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." So we ask them in prayer. And when we do, we have to believe on God's will to be done. Now, like I said, God's will is not always our will. Okay? And sometimes in prayer and through prayer, we have to learn that. We have to discover that. He has better ways. He has things going on that we don't know. We don't understand. But when we pray, we need to pray and believe. You know, we shouldn't pray, "Well, Lord, maybe you'll do this." You know, is that the right attitude to have in prayer? No. Are we approaching like that? No. "Lord, I know you can do this." How many people, their stories, did Jesus heal? You know, they came to him, the centurion came to Jesus wanting the person to be healed. And he said, "Lord, I know." He said, "I'm a man in command of people. I say to this man, go, and he goes, and this man, come, and he comes." He said, "All you have to do is speak it, and it'll happen." And the Lord said, "What great faith, you know, that you have. By your faith, this man's healed." We have to pray in belief. We have to be believing on God and not just have a laissez-faire attitude of like, "Well, whatever." You know, that's not the way to approach God in prayer. Believe that those things will be done. I won't really go into this because this is a whole sermon in itself. I don't want to touch on this. In Mark chapter 9, we know the story about the man whose son was demon-possessed. And he came to the Lord. This is the man who said, "Lord, I believe. Help out my unbelief." Do you remember that story? Now, he had gone to the disciples, and they couldn't cast out the demon. So then he comes to the Lord and says, "Lord, can you help me? You know, I went to your disciples, and they weren't able to do this." And he says, you know, "O faithless generation," he says, "bring him to me." And they brought him to him. And in verse 21, he said, and he asked the Father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." So he would cast him into the fire, into the waters, trying to destroy him. And Jesus asked him, in verse 23, and Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." You know, I just talked about going to God and believing. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that men said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" Why couldn't we do that? What did Jesus tell them? And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Prayer can cast out demons. Jesus said it right there. Prayer and fasting. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." How can we draw near to God? Prayer and reading his word. If we draw near to God in prayer, God will draw near to us. We can do that through prayer. But as I've said already, we have to do it in humility and humbleness. James chapter 4 verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. You have to do it in the humbling, in humbleness. In James chapter 5, it talks about how prayer can relieve affliction and cure sickness. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? What do? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Prayer can relieve sickness. We have to believe. We have to have that faith I talked about. And yes, it has to be in the will of God. But if you don't pray, what's that going to do? Nothing. You have to pray. You need to pray about it. I don't see that a lot anymore. I barely see it at all. I'm not just saying this church or our kind of church, any churches.
Right.
I know that at Landmark, I went to Landmark a few years ago, and they were doing that. Brother Gibbs was sent, before he got his kidney transplant on. They had a time that they called people up there, and, anybody wanted to come, and they anointed him with oil and prayed over him. And they did that on a consistent basis as well, is my understanding. They did it on a consistent basis. I think the Lord used that. He's doing much better. He got his transplant. His health is, so much better than it was at that time. Through prayer. Through prayer. Prayer can turn the rain on and off. It happened with Elias in that same chapter that I'm in. Verse 17, Elias was a man subject so like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Our prayers can affect things in the physical world. And I'm not saying God has called for us to pray for a drought, but it can happen. It can happen. To me, again, that goes back to that Second Chronicles. And praying for our country, praying for that God will heal our land. Many times we go to prayer last when we should go to prayer first. I'm not saying don't go see a doctor, don't go get some medication. God gives us has given us those things. God has blessed us with the intelligence to figure out antibiotics and those kind of things. But how many times, and I'm not talking about emergency, people always want to take the words out of context, but how many times do we seek prayer as the last resort rather than the first?
Mm-hmm.
If you're sick, pray on the way to the doctor. Pray on the way to the hospital. If you're taking somebody sick, pray for them. You can drive and pray at the same time. Pray for them. Be in prayer and believe that God can do those things, that He will do those things. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, talks about God showing us new, great, and mighty things through prayer. Prayer helps strengthen us to resist temptation. Matthew 26. And verse 41. Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You struggling with temptation? Some kind of temptation? Pray about it. Pray. That prayer will help you to resist it. Prayer can defeat Satan. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. What great words. The Lord himself has prayed for you to defeat Satan. Prayer, in a sense, saves sinners. Are we not told to call upon the name of the Lord? Are we not told to confess Him with our mouth? Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Luke 18:13, the man said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Are you troubled by sin? Are you unsure of your salvation? Go to God in prayer. Go to God in prayer. John 4, verse 10, Jesus said, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Thou would have asked him in prayer. Ask God in prayer. Go to God in prayer. If you're troubled over your sins, go to God in prayer. James 5, where I was at, we'll turn to all these. James 5, 16, 19, and 20 talks about prayer restoring backsliders. Are you backslidden, or do you know someone who is? Pray. Pray for yourself. You pray for them if you know someone. I read this, James 5, 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray for people. Pray for one another. Prayer sends forth laborers. See, you think you don't have anything to pray about. Here's plenty of things I'm giving you to pray about. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when he, that is Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray for laborers. Pray for the laborers you know. Pray for the men who are pastoring churches. Pray for those who are going out, the missionaries. And pray that God will send more. Prayer, back in James again, in closing, prayer has the power to give wisdom, to give us wisdom. You struggle with something in the Scriptures you don't understand? James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Mm-hmm. Ask of God. How do you ask of God? In prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer, and God can give you wisdom to understand things. To understand His Word. So there's plenty to pray about. Sometimes we think there's not. There's plenty to pray about. Amen. But we have to pray in humbleness and in belief. I found this, I want to close with this. It's a quote by Spurgeon on prayer. He said, he who lives without prayer, he who lives with little prayer, he who seldom reads the Word, and he who seldom looks up to heaven for a fresh influence from on high, he will be the man whose heart will become dry and barren.
Yeah.
However, he who falls in secret on his God, his prayer, who spends much time in holy retirement, who delights to meditate on the words of the Most High, and whose soul is given up to Christ, such a man must have an overflowing heart. As his heart is, such will his life be. So pray. Be in prayer. Open with that scripture. Pray without ceasing. There's always, always something to be in prayer about. Go to the Lord in prayer. If you have problems, you have issues, take them to the Lord in prayer. Remember that woman. Remember what Jesus said, the unjust judge. Keep praying. It might be 21 days. It might be 21 years. You might be praying for someone's salvation. It might be 20 years before they get saved. But don't give up. Keep praying. Let's grow in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we've had to come together and worship of you. We ask that you be with us in the next hour, Father. Be with Brother David as he stands before us and breaks open the Word of God, the bread of life to us. Father, help us to understand. Give us wisdom, as your Word has said. Father, help us to seek you in prayer. Help us to be those who are much in prayer, Father. Help me, Father, to be more in prayer, to be more in seeking your will for my life, to be in prayer for others, their struggles, their burdens they have, to be in prayer for this country, Father. Help us to be people of prayer, to seek your face in all that we do. Forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name I pray.